Our second scripture comes from 1 Corinthians 12. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of powerful deeds. To another, prophecy. To another, the discernment of spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually, just as the Spirit chooses. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. The word of God for the people of God.
So before Dave and I went to seminary, before we were pastors, we lived in downtown Orlando and we worshiped at a community called South Street. South Street Ministry was, you guessed it, on South Street. And my favorite thing about it was that it was in a particularly diverse area of the city. This ministry had gathered youth that were from First Winter Park. It had gathered folks who lived in the neighborhood, people in subsidized housing, folks who worked around the area or in the apartments, and people who had been there for a long time. And we had different sort of gatherings. We had worship and then other parties, lots of parties. And one year, we were like, we're going to do a Thanksgiving potluck. Now, if I said a Thanksgiving potluck, you'd probably have an imagination of what you would see on the table. Turkey, macaroni and cheese, gluten-free, dairy-free lasagna, beans and rice, tostones, vegan nachos, pork sliders, purple mashed sweet potatoes, and pumpkin pound cake, right? As we gathered, we had these two sisters, Maria and Mary. And these gals loved to cook. They lived on a really tight budget, but they showed up always with something to offer. But for them, Thanksgiving had never meant turkey and mashed potatoes and gravy. And so they brought the best beans and rice they had to offer. We looked around and we realized lasagna and tostones and vegan nachos had probably never been on the same table together. But here we are, offering what we do have for the sake of each other and for a good time. Now, I loved Mary and Maria's prayers. They would take turns. They absolutely loved to pray. And they prayed short, simple prayers. And my favorite one ever was when Maria said this, "Let us pray. This is what we bring, God. We need you. Amen." Today, we're talking about what it means to be people who bring what we have to offer, who put it on the table to be shared with one another, and who say to God, "This is what we bring. Be with us." Let us pray. Holy God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing to you. Help us to hear you, God, and help us to respond. Amen. So we've been in a series called Remember Who You Are, and we've been talking about the vows that we take when we are baptized. We've had lots of different powerful verbs before, and if you look on the cover of the bulletin, you'll see them. We've had renounce, reject, repent. We've talked about accepting the freedom that God gives us and resisting evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves. About confessing Jesus Christ and trusting in his grace, promising to serve. Last week, we asked, will you remain faithful members of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representatives in the world? Now, I want us to notice, as the Monday night discussion group did, we have a Monday night group that talks about everything that happens on Sunday, and anybody is welcome to come and share your thoughts, They notice that when you're baptized, the vows are about joining Christ's holy church all across the world, not a particular church. Today, we're shifting from our baptismal vows into the vows that we take when we join the mission of Christ's church in a particular place. Joining a particular church in this neighborhood is about claiming the mission that God is on in our very own community. Now, today we read two New Testament texts. We read this story from Mark on the feeding of the 5,000 and 1 Corinthians. We're going to get there, but let's start with Mark. Now, this story might be one that you are familiar with. It's actually the only miracle, the only story that is in all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You may have noticed that these disciples, they feel a little bit like tired parents. So many people are coming and going, and so many people need something from them that they haven't even had a chance to eat for themselves. Jesus notices their need and brings them into a boat and says, "Let's go away to a quiet place." And then also, like tired parents, the crowd notices them on the shore and begins to gather on the shoreline, waiting for them to arrive at the next place to ask for something. It's like when I open the pantry door and I see Elijah standing on the cooler to ask me, "Mommy, can I have another snack, please?" When they get out of the boat, Jesus' heart is filled with compassion because he says they're like sheep without a shepherd. So he teaches them and he cares for them, and then the apostles can feel dinner time lurking right around the corner. The apostles are like, Jesus, we need you to get a move on, dude. These folks will be hungry very soon, and we did not bring enough snacks. I cannot figure out if I love or hate Jesus' response. You feed them. So, Jesus, I feel like I mentioned that we don't have enough snacks, and we're not looking for a dinner riot, so I have delegated this problem to you. Cool, Jesus replies, and I have delegated this problem to you. I wonder how often we come to Jesus like these apostles, asking what he's going to do about this, whatever this is, only to have him ask us the very same question. So these apostles, they start asking around to see what they might have. They find 5 loaves and 2 fish. Now, you'll notice they said they needed 200 denarii worth of bread. A denarii was a day's wages. They needed 200 days' wages worth of bread. That's not a thing you find hiding in a corner, right? They don't have that. But they've got a few loaves and a couple of fish nonetheless. And thank God for whoever the person was who knew to pack snacks for the road. Now Jesus takes what they have offered, prays, and somehow there is enough for everybody at the end of the day. Was there enough because through Christ, God can make something out of nothing? Maybe. Was there enough because miraculously through Christ, when the people saw that everyone needed to eat, they sheepishly began to pull out what they had brought and to share as well? Maybe. Did something else entirely happen between offering the 5 loaves and 2 fish and then there being 12 basketfuls left over? Maybe. What we know is when they offered what they had, God multiplied it for the sake of the mission of Christ. Now, if I was counting that day, you may have noticed this at the end of Rebecca's first reading. If I was counting that day, I would have counted the women and children also as people, right? Of course. There's a lot about first century writers' math that we may have improved on since then. But kingdom math? That's the really intriguing one. 5 loaves, 2 fish, and thousands of people. However it happened, that's pretty cool. Some might ask, why didn't Jesus just rain fish down from the sky or dig up dirt and turn it into bread? Well, if this miracle was just about how cool it is that Jesus can do magic tricks, there's a lot of other magic that could have been done. So there must be something in here about Jesus using whatever we have to offer and getting us involved in the mission that he's on. He is asking these apostles and folks all throughout Scripture to faithfully participate. You feed them, he said. We live in a world that loves the prosperity gospel. The prosperity gospel is the idea that God wants to make all of us instantly healthy, wealthy, and wise. And that you can do that immediately if you just believe enough. It subtly implies that if you aren't those things or you don't have those things, it's because you haven't believed or earned your way through faith. It's honestly straight heresy. Because Jesus himself was a blue-collar carpenter and he came from a poor family, Mary had to offer two doves because she did not have a lamb. But that kind of preaching really leans on miracles like this one to remind us that God multiplies what you give. Surely, that's true. But the prosperity gospel doesn't say why God multiplies what we offer. It will tell you that God wants to make you rich for your own sake, for fancy preacher jets, worldly power. But the multiplication in the feeding of the 5,000 is that God multiplies what the apostles offer for the sake of feeding the crowd. When we faithfully participate in the mission of God in our communities, God takes whatever hopeful, broken fish and loaves we are and uses our lives for the sake of the church and the world. We are multiplied for the sake of God's mission in our community. So how do we do that? How do we even know what to offer? What if I don't walk around with fish and bread in my purse? This is where our Corinthians passage comes in handy. Paul is writing to the folks in Corinth and telling them not to devour each other over disagreements or to get too big for their own britches, thinking that their gifts are the most important and everyone else can just get behind them. Instead, he says, the Holy Spirit has given each of you gifts for the common good. Notice in verse 7, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Doesn't matter what translation you read, we cannot get out of this. The King James even says, for to profit withal. The Message says, everyone gets in on it, everyone benefits. You can hear Paul telling them, you are going to need every gift you've got, so don't go running people off or deciding that you're the most important. To some wisdom, to some knowledge, to some healing, to some discernment, and the list goes on. When we are baptized, and then when we join God's particular mission in our community, we have to start by asking, what particular things has God stashed in my knapsack, and how do I offer those? Who is it that God has created me to be, and how do I offer my whole self to God's mission in the world? Your call is to take an exhaustive evaluation of who you are and what you have, and then offer that to God. We offer it up for the sake of what God is doing in our own lives and also in the lives of others. This is why we ask this question when folks join the church. As members of this congregation, will you faithfully participate in its ministries by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? We're asking, will you offer up who you are and what you have to God's mission? Now, this is a very important caveat, a moment to be very clear on what I mean. Some of you may have been to churches which demand every moment of your time, every bit of unpaid labor, every volunteer hour you have to be spent at the church campus doing church things. Certainly, we need folks to fold bulletins and teach kids in children's church and people to help serve communion. We are a church because of the ways that folks have invested here together. But the vows we take aren't about serving only inside this place with only these people. We are vowing to participate in the church's ministries, which ultimately all exist to serve the kingdom of God. There may be days when I am leading a Bible study, that conflicts with a music night that you have with your friends, people who maybe are looking for a little hope or a little fun. You are offering your gifts and your call and yourself. And so maybe that's the best way to serve the ministries of the church and the kingdom of God, to play music right where you are and skip Bible study. Please don't stop doing what God has called you to so that you can start doing whatever the pastor asks. Some of you have the gift of speaking truth to power. It's what we call prophecy in Scripture. Certainly, share your witness and your service with us here when that is right. And also know that you are engaging in ministry when you are speaking out to legislators on behalf of folks who would never get a meeting themselves to share their own stories. If you've been in the new member class recently, you can ignore the next couple of minutes because you are probably tired of this soapbox that I'm about to get on. Everybody else, though, listen up closely. God created you. God blessed you. God gifted you. And God called you to be part of the mission, the living, breathing, active body of Christ in this world. I don't know why God chose to use broken, unfinished human beings. But alas, here we are. If you, part of the body of Christ, decide to phone it in or to hide those gifts or to squash them because who cares about budgeting or writing or dreaming or quilting or cooking? Well, the church and the world will be incomplete because you aren't being you, the person God has gifted. It's okay for us to not have it all. The apostles found the stinky snacks they could in the crowd, and God fed thousands by blessing and multiplying and sharing what they offered. It's okay if you don't feel polished or finished or holy enough. It's okay if what you've got is a can of tuna and some crackers from yesterday or gluten-free, dairy-free lasagna at a Thanksgiving feast. This is the beauty of the body of Christ and the mission of God. God knows we aren't enough on our own to do all that God wants to accomplish and asks of us. So God multiplies what we offer for the sake of the church and the world. Will you offer your prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness to God's particular mission in this community? Will you let God multiply it for the sake of the church and the world? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.